This Torah class is brought to you by TorahAnytime.com.
See, just me? You're good?
Yeah.
When are you starting?
Wow.
Parshas Va'eschanan, that's good. Parshas Va'eschanan 5779, Perek Dalet, Pasuk Tes. One of my favorite psukim, it's a pasuk I say every day. Rak, Yishomer Lecho, Ushmor Nafshecha Ma'od. You got to be careful. Be very careful. Watch your soul. Maybe you'll forget the things that you saw with your very eyes. And you'll remove it from your heart, lest you bring it out of your heart. Remove it from your heart all the days of your life. You have a requirement to tell this over to your children and your grandchildren. Telling them over what? So the next pasuk says, Yo, Mashir Amadat Lefnei Hashem Melekecha Bechoriv and Har Sinai, that the Matan Torah, etc. Now the Sforno says that by far the simple meaning of this pasuk is you have to be careful about learning other matters. Don't get involved in the other chachmos of the world, what's called chachmos ha'umos. That could cause you to forget what you saw with your very eyes on Har Sinai. It could get you to deny the existence of a Kadosh Baruch Hu, his abilities, and everything he's done for you, his involvement, etc. I want you to be wise in the eyes of the nation. And normally, when I tell you I want you to be wise in the eyes of the nation, what happens is the other nations look at us and see if we're learned. Do we know their stuff? Do we know their sciences, their mathematics, their logic? Do we have their stuff? And if we do, great. And if not, not. After all, an IQ test is based on their version of what an IQ should be, what the intelligence requirement of a person should be. So we'd have to do that. Says the Sforno, it's not about that. You can be wise without doing what they do. Instead of going through what they have, instead of doing what they have, you do other things that are a little bit more correct. Ibn Ezra says, if you forget everything else in this world except for this, that's okay. Don't forget this. And what's this? It seems that the way the Sforno and Ibn Ezra are understanding it, don't forget what happened on Har Sinai. Don't do anything that'll make you forget what you saw on Har Sinai. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave you the Torah. Awesome. That's what you have to remember. Says the word Hishamer, says Rav Hirsch. Keep yourself far away from anything that could endanger what you stand for, your duty. Says Rav Hirsch, that's what we're talking about over here. Hold on to the thoughts and the considerations of science and nature with this in mind, that the people who wrote it may be biased and they may not believe in God. And if they don't believe in God, then there's a problem with everything they wrote. Says Rav Hirsch, so everything you learn, keep in the back of your head and say, does this go with the Torah? Does this go with our understanding of how the Torah goes through? And if it does, great. And if not, don't learn it. Don't learn it, or learn it in a different fashion where you can understand it. You want to understand, I'm giving an example, you want to understand how evolutionary theory could work in the world? There's a possibility that evolution can work with the Torah itself. That's a possibility. But to learn evolutionary theory the way Charles Darwin did it, as in random mutations based on preference, that's something that we cannot believe in. There's no such thing as a random mutation. Everything is with Hashkacha in some way, shape, or form, even according to the Rambam and Mori Nevuchim. That we don't believe in. But you know what we do believe? Even we absolutely believe that there is hashkacha that could allow for things to change as time goes on. You want to go with the Drasha Saran that speaks about how animals could adapt to their surroundings afterward? That's a possibility. But there's something that you have to learn within that, and that's the idea of subversion. That's what you have to get into. Rashi says, a fool is someone who would allow himself to forget the Torah that he's learned. Meaning, it's not just about Har Sinai in the revelation, even though that's what the next pasuk says. It's not just about Har Sinai, not just about remembering that God gave us the Torah. It's remembering the mitzvos and the Torah that you've learned. You shouldn't forget that. And what we're learning is, Raki Shem Lecha Shmor Nafshecha Ma'od, watch yourself, keep yourself, make sure that you remember the Torah that you've learned. Don't forget that Torah. Do not forget that Torah that you have. Remembering it will allow you to be a Talmid Chacham. Forgetting it will make you look like a fool. And he says there's no middle ground. There's no middle ground of like, you're somewhat a Talmid Chacham, you're somewhat not a Talmid Chacham. No, it's absolutely, it's either one or the other. And that's that. The Ramban says that this Rashi, and these Rishonim really, are not correct at all. He doesn't explain why. Just says, not correct at all. The Mizrahi doesn't understand what the Ramban doesn't understand. There's an Achlas Yak over here itself, but the Ramban says a different issue. Says there is a lo sase, a negative precept, that one is not allowed to forget what happened on Har Sinai. Not about forgetting the Torah per se, but not allowing ourselves to forget what happened on Har Sinai. Obviously, we have to keep the mitzvot as they're written. Obviously, we have to keep the Torah the way that it was given to us and commanded in Har Sinai. But just as important is to remember how it started in the first place. And every single day, says the Ramban, there is a requirement to get up in the morning and to say, I remember that the Torah was given in Har Sinai. Even though I may not have been there physically with my form, I know that the Torah was given in Har Sinai, and to say to ourselves every day, to tell it over to our children and our grandchildren, to say it over to them, that this maimon is there for us to understand what we're doing and why we're doing it. That's something, says the Ramban, that's what this pasuk is telling us. Why is that so important? Why is that such an important idea? Says the Ramban, if we assumed that the Torah was just given to Moshe Rabbeinu, and that Moshe Rabbeinu was a person who came down, and he was a very, very influential figure, a very great orator, which we know that he wasn't. He had a speaking impediment, may even had a terrible, terrible lisp, or he could have had some type of a cleft lip where he wasn't able to speak freely, he wasn't able to do much, remember, because of the burning coal. So there was something that clearly was wrong with him. He was not a tremendous orator, but if we assumed that that was that, then look, if Moshe Rabbeinu was able to do that the first time, then why can't someone else get up who's also a great influence, who's somebody who has a tremendous, tremendous work ethic, who really, really has worked hard on himself and made himself into a great person? He can say that he's a prophet, bring down another Torah, or say that, you know what, HaKadosh Baruch Hu decided we're going to do something different, and then we'll listen to him instead. If it's Moshe Rabbeinu versus this guy, and I don't know Moshe Rabbeinu, but I know this guy, and this guy's awesome, then why wouldn't I listen to him? I want to listen to that guy, the new guy. For that reason, we have to remember Har Sinai. It wasn't Moshe Rabbeinu fooling us into thinking while we were in a drug-induced state that all of a sudden the Torah was given. We weren't asleep. We purposely were up, awake, seeing with our very eyes in front of us, and all of us together, as a whole, seeing what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted to give us. And because of that, because it's so unlikely for such a thing to happen, for such a thing to be not happen, and for it to be made up later, we say, if anybody gets up and says, it's not true, that didn't happen, and here's what we're going to have to do now, we say back to him, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu brings us all together to a Har Sinai again, then we'll believe you. And if not, we're not going to believe you. Says the Ramban, that's why it's so important to do. Because it was HaKadosh Baruch Hu doing it in Har Sinai. Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu told us what to do in Har Sinai. This Torah wasn't given to one person. It was given to all of us together. And that way, there is no way we're going to listen to anybody else. There's no one else out there. Yeah.
But at this point, it's just stories against stories.
Which one? The story of?
Stories of Har Sinai, which we just know of from stories from our parents, from our Rebbeim. As opposed to,
100% true, and that's part of this. Part of the process of this is to understand the story behind the story. Again, a story in which we look at it and we say to ourselves, "Look, can somebody get up there and make up the fact that 1,000 people, 2,000 people, in our case, 3 million people had a revelation together in one place? Would that have been made up, or could that have been done? Now, if it can be done, has that ever been done before? Has it ever been done? And not for an easy fashion. Meaning, if somebody would get up and say, all I need you to do is to believe me, guys. I don't need you to do anything else. Then yeah, maybe 3 million people would be convinced by one person to do that. But this is to add on 613 mitzvahs and to change their lives completely. I don't know if that's something that would be there. So although you're right, it's story versus story, and we're seeing somebody in front of us versus that, but the method of the story is completely different. If that's true, then that makes it a little bit there. That's one. But there's another reason why it's such an important mitzvah, and something for us to remind ourselves of every single day. Says the Chidah, it's also to be ma'or within us, to waken within us a true love for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Look what God did for us. We were slaves in Egypt that really didn't deserve anything, and we're sinners. And yet HaKadosh Baruch Hu took us out and gave us what we did. Not only that, but Matan Torah was like a chuppah. It's ke'ilu we're married to HaKadosh Baruch Hu with this. That Matan Torah was the chuppah itself, the luchos were the ring, etc., that we're connected to HaKadosh Baruch Hu in that way. Maybe it also reminds us of the achdus we had in that day, because on that day, it was vayichana am neged ahor. They were camped together by the mountain. Maybe that's the achdus that we're supposed to remember at all times, to remember what HaKadosh Baruch Hu did for us. But there's a fourth reminder. That fourth reminder is that Har Sinai tells us, why was it chosen? We all know. Was Har Sinai the tallest mountain? No. The shortest mountain. I don't know what the status is of a short mountain. I don't know what that means exactly. I'll be honest with you. It's still a mountain. But it was the shortest of the mountains. The most insignificant. Something that was nothing. And why? Because it was humble in whatever way that you can have a mountain that's humble. You have humility. And it shows that in order to receive the Torah, there needs to be a nivus, and we have to keep ourselves in check. Says the Malbim, when the nations look at us and say that we're a wise people, we're smart, we're good with money, when they look at the Jews and they say that we rule over the world, we look back, and instead of saying, yes, you're right, which is the reason why the Protocols of Elders of Zion has been written, we look back and say, only if HaKadosh Baruch Hu is with us. And that's the truth. If HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not with us, we're the most downtrodden people, the people that are thrown underfoot by any nation in the world. We're the people that are literally thrown under the bus in any nation. But because HaKadosh Baruch Hu is with us, therefore we're able to do what we're able to do. The Malbim says that's how we have to look at ourselves. We have to look at ourselves as, did HaKadosh Baruch Hu give us what we need? Yes. And that's why we're able to do something. That's the idea behind it. Says the Venish Chai, that's why it starts the puzzle with the word rak. Rak is a miut. It's an exclusion. It says, not just this. It's rak Yishav. I need you to only. That's the idea of bimamayit yourself. Minimize yourself. Make yourself more humble. And that's the idea. And true humility is only by the greatest of the greats. I'm giving you a story. Alinu Shabbat brings us down. Rabbi Yosef Zorishtin. The Chazon Ish, a very young man, was sitting outside the office of a certain Rav in Lithuania. So he was sitting there. He was a young man at the time, maybe, I don't know the age. I'm assuming around 20, 21 years old. But he was a brilliant genius who was already well-known by the Gedolei HaDor. Chaim Ozer Grudensky knew him well. Everybody knew who he was. So Rav Henkin walked into the room and saw this young man standing there, sitting there right waiting for the Rav. So he said, oh, what's your name? And he said, my name is Avram Yeshaya Karelitz. He says, what do you do for a living? And he said, I own a store. At the time, his Rebbetzin did. She owned a store. She had something, which she used to sell stuff. And the Chazon Ish would help once in a while, but he was learning. So he said, are you Kovei Timlo Torah? Do you have time to sit and learn? So here's what the Chazon Ish said. And it's such a classic example of what a gadol would say. He said, whenever possible. And again, in Yiddish or whatever language he was speaking at the time, right? I don't know how to translate it exactly. But the basic idea was whenever possible. To which then the Rav called in the Chazon Ish, and it turned out the reason why he was being called in, this 21-year-old young man was being called in because the Rav was going out of town for the next 3 months, and he was taking over for the Rav to be the rabbi of the town for the next however many months. That he was the backup. Rav Henkin realized that, turned and realized this is the Chazon Ish that everybody spoke about, the Chazon Ish who wrote these tshuvas that everybody had heard about. He realized it's the Chazon Ish. But listen to that line. That defines a Gadol Hador. What's a Gadol Hador? A Gadol Hador who is a person who learns whenever possible. Whenever possible that I can learn, that's when I learn. That's a gadol. That's the idea behind it. But it also shows the true anivus of what a person like the Chazon Ish was. So either way, the Torah Tumimah says this lav would only be incurred, and the only way you would get it, if you purposely did something to make yourself forget the Torah. Now, for us nowadays, that would be like purposely, like, I don't know, punching yourself in the head until you forget something. It would be like not chazering. And purposely not chazering. You know that you don't have it so great in your head. And you don't go over it. You don't think about it at all. You just let it be, and that's that. Says the Torah Tumimah, that's the idea. Any other silly reason that will be included there. In Menachos, Sadi Tesma Beis, they learn from the word rak, rak yishar melacha, that if your learning that you're doing is very tedious, and it's filled with details, right, and there's too much to remember, then you're not over on it if you forget it. The fact that I might not remember, I don't know, the Malbim that we just mentioned, you don't have to worry about that, says the Gemara Menachos, because rak yishar melacha, you have to be careful about keeping the Torah as a general whole. But you don't have to remember all the tedious arguments or the different individual ideas that are there in the Torah itself. If you forget them, you're not over on this lav. But you have to remember the basic idea. You have to remember the basic ideas behind it. Tam Vidas, where Schermbach says, there's a machlokas if this applies to us nowadays. Us nowadays is the real deal. The Baal HaTanya was famous. The Baal HaTanya, the first Lubavitch Rebbe, he writes this in the Shulchan Aruch HaRav in Hilchos Talmud Torah. He says, you cannot forget any part of your learning. And here's what the Baal HaTanya says. If you're finding that you're learning things and then forgetting it, change your whole learning style around. Do one mesechta your entire life if that's what you need to do. Do one blot 1,000 times so that you'll never forget it. Says the Baal HaTanya, that's what a person is supposed to do. But you're not allowed to forget your Torah learning. I have Chabad does not do this. And I don't know why they don't do it. They don't go at a very slow pace. But can you imagine? He's holding la halacha. If you're going to forget what you learned this morning, don't do it then. Don't do it. It's not saying don't do it. He means do it some other way so that you're going to remember it. He goes through and says you should do everything 101 times. So that's what they used to do back then. That's the Baal HaTanya. The Keser Rosh in O Samach Zayin in the Siddur Agra, he says this was only for Torah Sheba'al Peh, at a time when they weren't writing anything down. So if you weren't writing anything down, if you forgot it, it was gone forever. That's why he says you can't forget your Torah learning. You have to remember it because obviously there was nothing written down. What were you going to do? That's how the Keser Rosh puts it. Rav Chaim Volozhiner says this only applies by those who are part of the Mesorah altogether. If you're part of the Mesorah, if you're part of those being given the Torah and you forget your Torah learning, then you're chayiv. But if you're not part of that, if you're just a random guy, a guy who's learning, I'm learning Torah because what else am I going to do? I'm going to learn. And if you forget your Torah learning, you are not chayiv for this. You don't have to worry about this. That's what Rav Chaim Volozhiner says. He said, that's true once Torah Sheba'al Peh was written down. Same thing as the Keser Rosh. Once Kabbalah Satorah ended, so to speak, where it's a different type of Kabbalah, Mesorah from Rebbe to Talmud, you no longer have to worry about the Torah Sheba'al Peh being given over or being forgotten at any point. They say that's when there's no issue of forgetting, and that's why nowadays we're not makbid if a person forgets something. But Rav Sternbach says something that seems to be pretty obvious to me. If you come up with a chiddush, and he calls this a chiddush she'ayla al shulchan malachin, a chiddush that's so good, you could bring it up to anyone, and every person would agree, that's an awesome chiddush. If you come up with an idea in Torah that was not written down before, and it's your idea in Torah, and it's awesome, if you forget it, you're over on this lav. You have to do anything you can to make sure you remember that chiddush, either by writing it down or by saying it over and giving it to others or saying something that a person needs to do. There's an etziv in Harech of Dover as well that speaks about this. The Briska Rav brings a proof. Think about this proof for a second. He brings a proof to Rav Chaim Volozhiner. Here's what he says. He says, Rav Chaim Volozhiner said that it doesn't apply nowadays. It only applies to the Mesorah HaTorah. In other words, those who are in the Mesorah, the Rebbeim, to the Talmud, etc. But it doesn't apply to just anybody. It's by anybody who's in the Mesorah. If you lose out on something, you cause some part of Torah to be forgotten, then you're over on it. Says the Brisker of the Grizz, he says, I'll prove it to you. There's a Gemara in Temura. The Gemara, is it Temura? Yeah, it's Temura. Temura Tezayin Amad Aleph. In Temura Tezayin Amad Aleph, it says that when Moshe Rabbeinu was about to die, he turned to Yoshua. He said to Yoshua, ask me anything. Do you have any shilas in anything in Torah learning that you need to know? And Yoshua told him, no, I don't have any shilas. He says, he said about me, lo yamush mitoch, oh, I never moved outside of your tent, Moshe. Anything you got, I received. So I don't need any questions. I'm good. Moshe Rabbeinu, it says, tasha koicho. He got weak. Either Yoshua got weak, Moshe got weak, different. Either way, somebody got weak. They lost 3,000 halachas when Moshe Rabbeinu died. Some say 1,700, Kavachomers. 3,000 halachas were lost. And Klal Yisrael wanted to kill Yoshua. When they realized that they had lost those bits of Torah, they wanted to kill Yoshua. And Asniel ben Kenaz got up. He used his pilpul, his ability to decipher and figure out what things were. And he came up with those 3,000 chedushim out of his pilpul. He was able to come up with them on his own and bring them all back. Says the Briska Rav. Why did the people want to kill Yoshua? They were over on the same issue, weren't they? They forgot those 3,000 halachos. It wasn't just Yoshua that forgot it. It was all of them that forgot it. They should have killed themselves. They should have said, we're all chayiv. We all did something wrong. Why were they blaming Yoshua? Says the Briska Rav, because the issue is only by the Mesorah. It's by the leaders of Klal Yisrael. It's not by just anybody. It's only by the people that are in charge. If they forget, then this lav is being overrun. Then you have a real issue. That was the issue over here. So when Yoshua forgot, even though everybody else forgot as well, they didn't blame each other. They blamed Yoshua. They looked at Yoshua and they said, Yoshua, how could you have forgotten? They blamed him. Says the Briska Rav, that's the proof. It's a really great, it's an amazing idea. It's just, if you're part of the Mesorah, that's going to be a problem. But otherwise, it's a really good one. Pirkei Avos, and we all know this Pirkei, this Mishnah and Pirkei Avos. Perek Gimel depends on which Pirkei Avos you look at. It's either Mishnah Ches or Mishnah Yud. Mishnah Ches or Mishnah Yud, it says the following. If you forget one thing from your learning, says the Gemara, Mischayev Benafsho. Hear that? Mischayev Benafsho, you're chayev against your soul. Now, it seems to be a bit extreme, doesn't it? Isn't that an extreme? You're chayiv against your soul if you forget one thing from your learning. So there are a few other Maimari Chazal about learning Torah that say that if you forget it, mamash, you're like, you're dead. You're dead to the world. So what does that mean? What do those words mean? So Rav Aaron Cutler, who better to speak about this than Rav Aaron Cutler? This is his cup of tea. Rav Aaron Cutler started Lakewood knowing that if nothing started, if they didn't start Kolelim at that time, it was going to be horrible for Klal Yisrael. Klal Yisrael was, they had a dearth of Talmidei Chachamim, a dearth of Rabbanim, and people that were in serious learning at the time because of what happened in the Holocaust. So Rav Aaron Cutler opened Lakewood. Obviously, this is part of the idea of what he wanted to do. Rav Aaron Cutler says, based on this pasuk, says the greatest tragedy that could happen to Klal Yisrael is forgetting Torah learning, forgetting something in your learning, because it's lost forever. It's not going to be found. We don't have an Asniel ben Kenaz who is going to be able to bring it back. Once that happens, he says it's worse than Chorban. It's worse than the destruction of Beis Hamikdash. It's worse than going into exile. It's worse than Gullus. He says Gullus was made earlier for the Cheresh and the Misgar, the people who left Gullus a little bit early, the people who left Eretz Yisrael a little bit early by the times of Tzidki HaMelech, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted people who were learning Torah in Bavel so that when Tzidki was exiled, there would be people there who could teach them. Meaning, Gullus was made earlier so that people didn't forget Torah. Says Rav Aaron Cutler, there's no question in his mind, the worst thing that could happen is this. There's no question. HaKadosh Baruch Hu was willing to rush the Chorban and kick people out of the country in order to make sure the Torah wouldn't be forgotten. That's how harsh it is. But Rav Aaron Cutler says that's the idea. Kli Yakar also talks about this. And he learns from the pasuk. Listen to this tremendous remez. Listen, those who know me know I'm very into gematrias. I love gematrias and I love Ramazan. I absolutely love hints. I don't always use them in my shir because it's hard to do within the realm of what we're trying to do. But the Ramazan that are given from this Kli Yakar are absolutely beautiful. Everybody knows the line. The line is, if you learn something 100 times, you don't even compare to somebody who learned something 101 times. Gemara and Brachos, 100 times versus 101 times, 101 times. So just one? The answer is yes, and it's simple. You rent a car, right? If you rent it for 24 hours, it costs, I don't know, let's just say, $50 a day. 24 hours, $50. You rent it for 24 hours in 1 minute, it's $100. Well, it's just a minute. Why am I being charged double for one extra minute? The answer is yeah. At a certain point, right, that's when it stops and it goes to something else and everything becomes different. I remember going to a parking lot, parking lot G outside of O'Hare. If anybody knows parking lot G, it's my favorite parking lot to park at. If you're going for one day, it's a great parking lot. But if you go, if it's within 24 hours, you're good. It's like $14. It's something like that. But if you go for 24 hours and 1 minute, and one time this happened, I was 1 minute over because the train was a little late and it was a little slow. So eventually when it got me to the parking lot, it was 1 minute. I was 24 hours in 1 minute. Then it's $28, double the price. And that's obvious to anybody who knows. So what's the difference between 100 times and 101 times? The answer is that one extra time makes a difference. It already puts you in a different category, something different. The Baal HaTanya says, because this is what it used to be. People used to chazer things 100 times over. Everybody did everything 100 times over. So if you did it 101 times over, you were greater than everybody else. Because everybody else is only doing it 100 times. And you did it 101 times. That made you greater than everything. And he said, that's the pasuk. The pasuk in Mishlei says, "V'shaptim u'ra'isim." You should go back and see bein tzaddik l'rasha, the difference between a tzaddik and a rasha. Bein oved elokim, between someone who serves God, la'asher lo avdo, to someone who does not serve God. Lo avdo does not serve God. The rasha tevis are lamed and ayin. Lamed and ayin is 100, because he only did it 100 times. But the other guy, the Oved Elokim La'asher, Oved is an Ayin, Elokim is an Aleph, La'asher is a Lamed, Ayin, Aleph, Lamed is 101 times. And Oved Elokim does it 101 times. Somebody who's not of dough is only 100 times. Then he adds, says the word Shochach is the Gematria of 328. Zochar, to remember something, right? You want to do Shechicha and Zechir, whatever you want to call it, right? The Zochar is 227. The difference between 328 and 227 is 101. You want to remember something? Do it 101 times. And that takes away from Shochach. 101, 328 minus 101 times is 227 Zohar. That's when you'll remember it. That's the idea behind it. And he even goes on and says, And that's the name of the Malach. The Malach that makes you forget something, his name is Shochach. The Malach that helps you remember things, his name is Zochar. And if you learn 101 times, you take away from the powers of that Malach, the kochos of that Malach of Shechah. You take away that 101, you turn it into Zohar. You make it into something that can be remembered. And he says, that's the pshat behind the 101. You're taking away from the power of that Malach and you're giving it over to something else entirely. And he says the line, he says, he shomer ushmor nafshcha ma'od, the Rashi Tevis of 101, lecha, the lamed, is because when you learn it 101 times, you get rid of all that. That was all that. Now there is an issue. Calling the name of the Malach of forgetting things, Shochach, is a little bit of an issue. I read elsewhere in the Kli Yakar that the name of the Malach that helps you forget things and makes you forget things is called Riv, Reshud Beis. Okay, that's for something else entirely, but it's called Riv, not Shochach. The Ben Yoyada and the Gemara in Chagiga, Tesim Abeis, says the name of the Malach of Shechah is, very well-known name, Michael. Michael is the Malach that makes you forget something. Michael is the gematria of 101. And therefore, if you do something 101 times, you're mevatel, the power of that Malach Michael. That's what he says. On the other hand, the Arizal says that the Malach Michael is the Malach that helps you remember things. And that's why you do it 101 times, to give him power. It's the opposite ideas. I have no idea what the difference between them, whether they work or not. The Paritz Yosef brings other Sfarim that it's Puta, Pei Vav Tes Hei. And apparently we say it on Motzei Shabbos. I have no idea where we say it. Maybe I looked in Gutfun Avram. It has to be in a Mizmor that's written in Aramaic. But I didn't see anything that had this name inside it when I looked for it. I just didn't see it. But that's that. There are certain things that cause a person to forget your learning. Hori is Yud Gimel and Beis. And maybe you've seen them before. This is not the stuff that is hard for you to learn, that it makes it hard for you to learn. That's other things. Like, for example, going under a bridge that never had water, it makes it hard for you to learn. That's difficult for you to learn. Walking in between two women could cause you to forget, to cause it hard for you to learn. But there are certain things that are written over here that make you forget your learning, such as eating something that was nibbled on by mice or nibbled on by cats. Now, as a timeout, if you are eating things that were nibbled on by mice and cats, I am going to ask you to call me, because I can get you other food. That's not the food you want to be eating. Okay? But if that's an issue, that's something out there. But number three, I guess you can call it, eating olives. Harugil bezesim. I had a student who once told me, I said, that's why I don't eat olives, and also because they're disgusting. But he said, why don't you eat? He said, you could eat olives. It's only rugil bezesim that's a problem. If you normally eat olives all the time, then it's a problem. But if you eat olives once in a while, then it's okay. But to be machmir, I don't eat any of those salads. I don't, you know what? Don't eat anything that touches an olive either. And that way, you don't have to worry about anything whatsoever, because olives are literally the most disgusting things on earth.
Olive oil.
Sorry, olive oil is okay. Olive oil actually helps you bring back your learning when you forgot it. So it's the opposite. So when you squeeze it, right, it becomes something there. There is a Ben Ish Chai exactly on that, and the difference is in Parshas Titzaveh, that Deres Eliyahu. It talks about the difference between olive oil versus the olives themselves. Another one, drinking water left over from washing. You wash your hands, and then you drink that water afterward, which is disgusting. Don't do that either. But if you do that, that's also. You know what would be an issue with? If you were on, if you were in space and you had to recycle your own water, that would be a problem. Recycled water would probably be an issue. Now, technically, all water is recycled because it goes through, all the way through and goes through the lakes and oceans, etc. I guess, but it's not direct. This is kind of more direct. That might be an issue. Another thing, washing your feet together. That I have no idea. You can't ask me about that. And the last one is sleeping on your shirt, using your shirt or something as a pillow. There are other things mentioned in that Gemara over there, but there's other things like that. Ayelet HaShachar says, you're not over on this Isser if you do any of those things. And the reason why is because they won't for sure make you forget your learning definitively. They'll make you forget, maybe, so whatever. They're a cause. So there's something you got to watch out for, but it's not automatic. In Sefer HaChassidim, there was a man who approached the Rav, and he said to the Rav, Rebbe, I'm starving. The only bread I have was bread that was eaten by a mouse. What should I do? So Rebbe said to him, why don't you eat it? You're starving. He said, Rebbe, I'm very makbid. I don't want to forget my learning. I will never eat any bread that was eaten by a mouse. So the Rebbe said, let me tell you something. I see you when you're learning. You're mostly by the coffee, by the coffee section, talking to guys, walking around. You're not really concentrating on your learning. You're also talking about other things, You talk about sports, you talk about all that other stuff. He said, go ahead and eat the bread of the mouse, what you should be doing is learning properly. And then you won't forget your learning. So Sefer Chassidim is in Tuf Reish Ches said, it's a little bit different, right? Obviously, these are skulas, and we don't understand them fully, but they're skulas. But the real skula to remember your learning is to learn, because that way you're going to remember it. It's not to not eat something that was eaten by a mouse. In certain gemaras, you're going to find simanim. You ever see those simanim? Simen, and it goes through a bunch of things, and sometimes the words are something in front of it, sometimes it refers to subjects, it refers to rabbis. The Shla Kaddish and the Chassam Sofer were makbid to always read those simanim, because it helped you remember things, and if it helps you remember something. Shla Kaddish also says there's a secret behind every single one of those simanim. Do not skip them when you read through a gemara. You get to a simen in the gemara, read the simen, even if you don't fully understand it. The Shach suggests some things to remember your learning. This is some interesting stuff. You know how you should remember your learning? Think of Har Sinai. Think of you receiving the Torah of Har Sinai. Have a picture in your head of that happening. And when you have a picture in your head of that happening right there in front of you, you will remember your learning better. If you think in your head those things while you're learning, that's a guarantee to help, says the Shach, to remember that. Number one. Number two. Picture your Rebbe giving you over a certain piece of Torah. Picture him saying it to you. Picture him looking at you and saying it to you at that moment. The Ben Ish Chai put his face on the front of his farm for this reason. So you can look at the Ben Ish Chai's face as you're reading his Torah. So you can picture the Ben Ish Chai saying it to you. If you picture the Rav at that time saying it to you, that will help you remember. The Zohar says that's what Yosef HaTzadik did. Yosef HaTzadik did it when the butler and the baker were telling him over the dreams. He couldn't figure out what it was. And he thought about his father telling him some piece of Torah. And he saw his father's face. Obviously, it happened by Ishus Potiphar, by Zalika later on as well. And that helped him remember what to do with that as well. There's a tzlach in Brachos Yud Aleph Amud Beis, that another school is saying Birchas HaTorah properly, saying Birchas HaTorah properly and slowly in the morning. There's a Shulchan Aruch Tuf Kuf Yud Dalet that says straight out, if you say the words Mashiach Ruach HaMar Degeshem 90 times, you don't have to repeat your Shemana Asar. Everybody knows that, right? That's why you say, Nechayim Esimah Torah Loshia Mashiach Ruach HaMar Degeshem. Everybody does that on Sukkot, right? If you do it 90 times, you don't have to worry. It says, don't have to worry about it. So the Chassam Sofer asks, why 90? Where does the word 90 come from? And he said he figured it out. If you do 30 days, which is the normal amount that you don't forget things, 30 days of tefillos after Sukkot, if you count up all the tefillos, including Musaf on Shabbos and Musaf on Rosh Chodesh, etc., and Yom Tov, there's 101 tefillos. And that's because of this 101. And that's why you're never going to forget it if you do that all together. Sfasem is in Likutim. I'm sorry, what?
Why 90?
90 is because you have 90 altogether. It means 90 times of Mashiach Ruach HaMar Degeshem is really 90 tefillos of 30 days plus the extra 11 of Musaf of certain days that you would add on. So it's 101. So it never meant to be 90. It was always meant to be 101. That's how he understands it. Chofetz Chaim once went to the Brisker Rav. This is such a great story. He went to the Brisker Rav to Reb Chaim Brisker. He had to ask Reb Chaim Brisker something. It was the Chofetz Chaim and another Rav. It was the Rav of Charkov. They went to go ask the Reb Chaim Brisker for something. As they wanted to talk about Pidyon Shvuyim, freeing somebody from jail. As they got in to go see Reb Chaim was davening Shmon Esrei. Reb Chaim sometimes did not daven with a minion on purpose. He davened at his own pace, his own way. So Reb Chaim was davening on his own. So he was about to start a Shmon Esrei. So they said, all right, we'll wait. So Chofetz Chaim and the Rav of Charkov sat down, and Reb Chaim Brisker started his Shmon Esrei. When he was finishing and he took his three steps back, all of a sudden one of the enlightened Jews of Brisk ran inside. The enlightened Jews, they believed in the reform way of looking at things. He ran inside. And he said, Rebbe, it makes no sense. In the Gemara, there's more questions than there are answers. There are more times that the Gemara asks questions and doesn't answer it than times that the Gemara answers it. So Reb Chaim Brisker turned to him. You know, I guess he could have, maybe while he had his three steps back, maybe right when he finished. He looked at him and he said, it's not true. There are more times that the Gemara answers than asks. More times that the Gemara answers the question than leaves it as a kasha. You know how, like, people have a problem with teiku, right? They look at teiku and they're like, come on, you have to ask. So they finished whatever the meeting was, right, about Pinyin Shvuyim. The Rav of Charkov and the Chofetz Chaim were going back. The Chofetz Chaim was deep in thought. About an hour into the trip after meeting with Reb Chaim, the Chofetz Chaim looked up and said, Reb Chaim is a goyim. Reb Chaim is a goyim. So the Rav of Charkov said, he understood what the Chofetz Chaim was saying. The Chofetz Chaim just went through in his head all of Shas. And he went through every question and went through every time the question was answered and the question wasn't answered. and figured out at the end of the day, there were more times that the Gemara answers the question than doesn't answer the question. And that's why he said, oh, he's right. He's right. There are more times that it answers than it does ask the question. That's how we understood it. Now, how does a person do that? Okay, we have a Gaon that lives among us nowadays, Rav Chaim Kanievsky. If you haven't heard the stories about him, about his memory, the phenomenal memory, I don't even know what to say. The fact that it's mind-boggling. The word get, gimel and tes, the reason why it's called get is because the Grud, the Vilna Gaon famously says, now the Tosa says because there aren't 12 lines in a get, right? 12 lines in a get. Get is the gematria of 12, so it works out well. But the Grud says, why gimel tes? You could call it a yib, right? Or a b, or a vav, or a za, a ze. Right? Why not call that? Why do you have to call it a get? And he says, simply put, gimel and tes are two letters that never appear next to each other in all of Tanakh. You will never see a gimel next to a tes anywhere in Tanakh. It doesn't exist. Okay? Rav Chaim Kanievsky had a kasha. Want to hear this kasha? There are four other letter combinations that don't appear next to each other anywhere in Tanakh. There are four other letter combinations that are like that. You know how bad it is? I don't even remember what they are after reading this maybe 100 times. I still don't remember that. I remember it's Zion and Samach, another of a Gimel, I think Gimel and Shin. I forgot what it is exactly, but there are four other letter combinations. He says, so why didn't you call the get anything else? And he gives an answer, because this is the only one that's the gematria of 12, etc. But that's basically it. Right, but he asked that. I'm sorry? Yeah, my Gimel Vav Shin. But I don't know. Yeah, you're right, because Goshna, Gimel Shin Nun Hey. I don't remember which one it is, but it's four letter combinations. So somebody had the audacity to ask Rav Chaim, Rebbe, how did you know that? Did you use a computer? Rav Chaim never used a computer in his life. He said, no, last time I went through Tanakh, I paid attention. How in the world? There's 441 letter combinations that you could possibly have, because 22 letters, let's go with not without the, you know, the sophists altogether, right? 22 letter combinations. Go through. How in the world do you remember this? How can you do that? How is that possible? It's impossible. There's no way. There's no way that a person could do that. But I somehow he did it. He went through and they checked it. It's true. Those letter combinations don't exist throughout all of Tanakh. They just don't exist. There's four others. So what? Rav Chaim had that. There was a guy who went to Rav Chaim Kanievsky and he asked him, he said, how many times does the word Moshe appear in all of Tanakh? How many times? Is it the word Moshe? How many times does it appear altogether? The word Moshe, I forgot the amount. I think it's 613. Is that 612 or 613? Right? Something like that, right? He said 613 times in all of Tanakh, in all of Chumash. So the guy said, Rebbe, you're wrong. It's 614. So Rav Chaim Kanievsky said, he used a computer. He said, yeah. He said, the computer doesn't have nekudos. So there's one word in the Torah, and you just said it, Michael, v'lakhu miseh, mem sin hei. But the computer doesn't recognize it as miseh, the computer recognizes it as Moshe. So it counted 614. But really, there's 613. How do you have a mind like that? How does that work? How does that work? It's just, it's ridiculous. It's absolutely ridiculous. Those types of things are ridiculous. And I don't know. So we have people like that nowadays. We have people that are able to do that, that are able to do the pin test, that are able to go through Shas in such a fashion, that are absolutely unbelievable. Now, the rest of this, unfortunately, we don't have enough time to be able to go through. There's Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky that's absolutely amazing in Emes Liakov. There's a Mayana Shel Torah, a Yalku Gershuni, a Chavetz Chaim, Panim Yafos, Revel Yashiv. What did they see? The Ibn Ezra with Rabbi Yehuda Assad and the Tzafnas Paneach talking about what they saw. There's an Imre Noam that goes through a bunch. Years ago, we talked about this pasuk also means that you should be healthy. Talking about Minishmartim Odlinaf Shosechem. There's a Tamidas, a Tortimima, Kliak, or Amalia Roam, and Ma'ari. Arug is a Bosim, the Rambam, and Hilchos Rotseach, Ushmiras, and Nefesh. There's a Taimid Akra, and the Kovitz Parshas that talks about it in a Marsha over there in Brachos Lama Bez Lama Bez. And finally, it's Tiferes Yonasan. I guess the only thing that I would end off with is just simply put with this Tamidas, another of Shermbach, that says, there is another limit from this pasuk. It's in Brachos Chav Bez Lama Aleph, where it says that a Baal Keri, a person who has had that type of emission from that area of his body, is not able to learn Torah. That somebody is going to be forbidden to learn Torah, even though we don't paskin this way. We hold like Rabbi Ben Becerra, I believe, that holds that Torah is not makabel tuma. But nonetheless, he holds many of the Rishon, Rabbi Eloy, I believe it was, because Torah has to be learned with fear and trepidation. There should be learned with a certain way, similar to how it was given in Har Sinai, not like any other wisdom. And we have a chiyuv to remind ourselves constantly to learn Torah, how to learn Torah properly. So to end with this, Reb Zelig Reuven Bengis used to tell over the Reb David Friedman of Karlin, one of the Karlina Rebbes, I guess, Reb David Friedman of Karlin used to have a glowing sign, like a sign that said Shivisi Hashem Lenegdi Samed, that was always lit up on his desk. Said he would constantly remind himself of his learning, remind himself of what it was, as a reminder of Har Sinai. So those who were in Vod with me years ago, Moshe, I think you were there, we made our own reminder of Shivisi Hashem Lenegdi Samed, and some of us still have it, but some of us still have it around. Do you still have it? And your old key ring. Oh, you have to get a new, you have to redo it. I still have it. Still have it in my wallet. It's still there. But a constant reminder of Shivisi Hashem Lenegdi Samed to be able to help you at all times, to be able to go through. It's so important because this is a mitzvah, an actual mitzvah, to remember what happened in Har Sinai itself. Have a great Shabbos, everybody. Shkach, everyone.
You've just experienced another Torah class brought to you by TorahAnytime.com.